where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Hello everyone, welcome back to Critical Moves. Today we're going to be having a look at all of the, not all of them, but some of the strategy games that were released as part of Steam's Next Fest, which was running last weekend. I'm joined by Nuno. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And by our latest and greatest Rising Star team member, not to big him up too much, Adam. Are you well?
Yep, I'm fine, thank you. Hello, everyone.
You happy to be here?
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here, and I hope we'll have fun talking about strategy games.
We might not have fun, but we'll try and have fun, but we might not have fun. It really depends on whether you've got anything interesting to tell us or whether you're just going to bore us with terrible games. So let's
that's my job.
You're going to tell us. Yeah, sorry, that's Nuno's job. So you're going to have to be fun because Nuno's job is to bore us. Okay.
Okay.
But this is your big test, man. You know, if you're bad on this episode, you're not coming back.
Nice. So no pressure, okay. Guys.
No pressure. Do a good job or it's okay. The door.
Okay. All right. I'll try.
So, Adam.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so this is the introduction part. Okay, so I'm Adam. I play strategy games. I like niche indie strategy obscure titles that no one except me like. And that's me, basically.
Excellent. Excellent. You're going to fit right in.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Adam, we'll start with you then.
Yep.
You've had lots of time to have a look at the games which came out as part of Next Fest, and I think you've tried a few titles. So why don't you kick us off with one that appealed to you, that you thought was actually pretty decent?
So basically, what I have done is like I clicked on a strategy tab and I looked through the games that were there. And maybe let's start from some indie titles to, you know, warm us up. And the first one is called Starless Abyss. It's basically, it's a game that is a mixture of FTL. This was a big hit back, I don't know, in 10 years ago or something like that.
Is it really that old? Is it really 10 years old?
I think it's older than that.
Yeah, I was still living with my parents when it came out.
I was only 50 when it came out.
I was only 50 10 years ago.
No, game came out in 2012, so it's 13 years old.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
And so basically this is a mixture of this game. Do you know Slay the Spire game?
Very well, as well, yeah.
So again, deck builder game. And like turn-based, like Into the Breach is also FTL, the same game developers. So this is a mixture of all the three. And what I can say, this game is pretty good. It was one of the better ones I played. What I can say right now is that theme of like pulp science fiction, really good. Graphics is kind of good. The plot is not there, but the gameplay is really fun. And that's what I can say about this title for now.
It's basically the art style is basically Warhammer, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, this is the chaos thingy. I haven't played Warhammer, but there's this chaos thing that happens in the background.
You haven't played Warhammer?
I played a little bit, but not much.
Whoa. Get out. Yeah.
But I know in the lore there's like this chaos coming out of the background, basically of this some universe stuff, and this is kind of similar, but you know, it's an indie game. It's pretty good. It's pretty good, I have to say.
Yeah, I haven't played it, but I really want, it's one of those games that I want to try it before the Steam Next Fest ends, because I really love FTL. I bought FTL basically the day it came out, and I also loved Into the Breach. I think I played like 100 hours of Into the Breach, so this looks to be right up my alley. And I love Warhammer as well, and the art style is clearly like Warhammer inspired. I'm actually surprised that it's so close to Warhammer. So it's one of the games that I really want to try as soon as I can. because it looks like it's just FTL, but in Warhammer, it's a fantastic mix. I'm just very interesting to see how the like FTL is basically ship management in combat, and I'm interested to see how do they shake these things up, or if it's just like a modded version of FTL. I'm very very curious to find out about that.
I would say it goes much more into like side of into the breach side, because the theme is FTL one, but the gameplay wise it's more into the breach, but hexagon style. It's a really interesting mixture. What's important in this kind of game, I believe, is like a really well made gameplay that like you can feel that everything is well designed in terms of like quality, and every move is a meaningful move, and you can feel that every enemy is a good design enemy, and that's what I felt when I played this game. So yeah, it's kind of good.
What's the aim of the game?
To have fun.
Yeah, have fun.
I didn't ask you, I asked Adam. What is the objective of the game?
Basically to kill chaos entities, and that's it.
Like a shoot 'em up, or it's, you made something about like a survival.
Oh,
management.
It's a ship. It's a ship-based combat game. So
yeah,
it's a
ship, yeah. So ship basically, management. Ships. Yeah, ships works with these entities that are size of the ship on a grid-based board. Basically, you are going through the stages, and on the last stage there is a boss. And then the act changes, and it goes like that.
Is it turn-based, real-time?
It's turn-based.
Turn-based, okay. Yeah. And so on each turn you get movement points, yep. You get action points. So it follows quite generic turn-based game fare in that respect. You have a set number of action points, a set number of movement points. You decide how you use them.
Yes, but much more on the side of deck builder. Like, you see, if it's really obvious if you play a game like Slay the Spire, and it's kind of hard to explain if you don't. You play with cards, and with cards you make everything. But what you do on the board itself is tactical game. It's kind of hard to explain, but again, it's a mixture of this kind of games, and it's pretty good, and yeah, I liked it. And music is good. Music is good.
So, I just realized that we were talking about two different games.
Oh! Which one were you talking about?
Yeah, because you were talking about Starless Abyss, right?
Yeah.
I was talking about Void War.
Okay.
which is exactly like FTL. I'm not sure if you can look at Steam right now, but if you look at it, it's FTL. And then, right?
Yeah, I saw it. It looks like exactly like FTL. Yeah, so
that's why I was saying like, oh, this looks exactly like FTL. I'm interested to see what they're gonna do. It looks a lot like Warcraft, and I was like, what do you mean it's turn-based and it has cards? Because I'm not seeing any cards in here. And I just went to the Steam Next Fest banner and I saw, oh, okay, no, this is what we're talking about. So yeah, this is off to a great start.
It's just lost in translation. We have Adam from Poland, we have Nuno from Portugal talking in English. These things happen, you know. It's we are a multinational team, and sometimes things get lost in translation. So you recommend it?
Okay, on the scale from 0 to I need to play it right now, it's I wishlist it.
Okay. And is there a release date for it?
It's coming soon, I guess.
Coming soon to a Steam page near you. That's Starless Abyss. No, I think that you have been getting seriously moist about Task Force Admiral, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. It's probably one of the games I have played the most in 2025, so yeah. Task Force Admiral, for those that don't know, is an up-and-coming World War II strategy game set during the war in the Pacific, where you take control of an American task force and you fight the Japanese and several of the major battles in there. And what I really like about the game, I don't know, it has a sense of scale for us. You know, when you have those strategy games that look like they should be a lot bigger than they are. And like I don't want to offend anyone, because I know a lot of people like this title, but you know, the Lord of the Rings strategy games like Battle for Middle-earth and the battles feel super small, very unimpressive, despite the fact that the game is quite good, and you're just like, man, I wish this was like in the movies where you could see like the Battle of Minas Tirith with hundreds of thousands of units. And Task Force Admiral has that appeal to it, which is exactly on a one-to-one scale, and it makes it look very impressive, and it you can play it in real time, so if you want, your battle can last for hours and hours and hours. And it goes to the extreme that it tries to simulate every single aspect of task force management, but it doesn't overwhelm you with boring stuff. So you're basically just... You're the admiral of the fleet, and just setting out movement orders. You're setting out patrols or flight patrols, and then you're just assigning strike forces to your carriers and to your air squadrons. And the game is just perfect, right? And when it comes to war in the Pacific, at the tactical level, is I don't think you can find a game that's as good. It's going to be as good as Task Force Admiral. I cannot think of a single game that even comes close to it. I wrote in my preview of it that I thought it felt like a next level war game, just because of the amount of detail. Like, the graphics are AAA stuff for a strategy game, and the UI is super simple to play around with and to understand and to just get on with the game without having to listen to a boring tutorial or something like that, which is an achievement in of itself, because most strategy games tend to be tend to fuck up on the tutorial aspect and the UI. So I don't know, I just really enjoyed the Task Force Admiral, and I spent days on the last couple of weekends playing it, and I've always been replaying the same mission over and over again, because that's what's available.
So there's just one mission available on the demo.
Yeah, and but you also have an editor that you can set up your own missions. But if you want to give that a go, you can try that. But I don't know, it's just really, it's something very different, because it's not a turn-based X war game, or it's not your tactical infantry a la combat Company of Heroes style of title, but it's something different.
How does it compare to War in the Pacific?
Oh, you're talking War in the Pacific, like Gary Grigsby War in the Pacific, right? The massive game. They're super different, because War in the Pacific is a grand strategy turn-based title with also a lot of detail. This is a tactical one, so you're just in control of one specific task force. So you have you have your carriers, probably two carriers, the ships that are protecting the carriers, like your destroyers and your... I don't know the name of the other ones, but you know what I'm talking about. Like the whole array of ships that protect your carriers, and you're fighting the Japanese task force. So it's basically a game of cat and mouse, where you're trying to spot them first before they spot you, and you try to launch them like a devastating strike, and you can take their carriers down before they take your carrier down. So it's all almost a game. Like, it's a game of information above everything else. So you're just trying to get the drop on them before they even know you're coming, because if they can, they can launch their plane, and if they can do that, they'll probably be able to defend themselves. So it creates this very interesting dynamic, where you need to always be paying attention to how many points do I have available if something goes terrible right now, and how many points are in the air, because they can't all rain at once, right? Because you have two carriers, so where are your air squadrons? How are they divided? What each one of them is doing at that given time? Where the enemy is, or at least what was the last enemy known position? So you always, in your mind, you're always playing with these different time slots in which you're just trying to, so my scout is gonna leave at 7 a.m. and is gonna be arriving at 10 a.m. And the other scout is gonna leave 2 minutes later, and the other one. So you always try to keep tabs on these things, and you're trying to organize. So it's basically like a scheduling simulator. You're just, I have 20 points in the air, and I have 40 on the carrier right now, but the enemy is striking, so I should probably just get them all on the air before they destroy it. Like, if a bomb falls on all of my planes, it's gonna go very bad. The fact that you can follow individual planes and see them fight, and I think the game also has this kind of physics to it. I'm not sure if this is right, but I think it is. Because when the points are fighting and when the fighters are engaging with each other, they look like they have weight on them. So they look like they're actually performing maneuvers. It's not some kind of pre-animated kind of action. So like I saw 2 points, 1 point, like the wing clipping the other one wing and the other one losing control for a bit because it got clipped. And it managed to like wrestle control from the aircraft and pulled it back into formation again. But you could see that he was struggling because he was almost falling down to the water. So I thought that was super interesting. And the fact that the game is being developed, I think, by 3 guys. One of them, he's a really cool guy who I've been talking with for quite a number of years now. Which is he's the lead developer. His name is Amiro. And the fact that he managed to do this with just 2 other people is amazing when you have entire companies that don't manage to do this kind of stuff.
I have one question, because like, are you in control of these planes and stuff, or is it more like, you know, in, I don't know, Football Manager or something, that basically you set up the task and things happen?
I think you can fly individual planes if you like. That's one of their Kickstarter goals, because they already have the game pretty much finished. So what they're doing right now is that they launched the Kickstarter where you can buy a physical box edition if you like that, and if they sell X physical copies they will add more features, and one of them is that you can control the plane itself. But I think that is available at the moment on the demo. But I said, like, the strategy aspect of it is so intense, and you're always having to think ahead of what's going on, and you're always trying to keep tabs on everything that's going on, that it doesn't even cross my mind to try to control a single plane.
You're too busy doing other things.
Yeah, you're basically like, it's one of those games that in paper you should be just sending planes around, right? But it's not. It gets super complex, and you're always trying to manage a lot of stuff. Because the process of, and this is why I love this kind of games, is that the process of launching a strike force takes a while, right? Because the planes needs to be, they need to go into an elevator, they need to be positioned correctly, they need to, like, you need like 45 minutes to launch the whole strike force, and then the strike force hovers around the aircraft, the aircraft carrier, while they're waiting for the other guys to get up as well. So every single one of these moves that you do takes quite a while, so you need to act preemptively. So if you saw, like, is that an enemy scout over there? So should I just send, like, a couple of guys to intercept it, or should I scramble my forces because a wave might be coming of Zeros and dive bombers and all that? So, and I've been, like, I had a lot of experiences playing it where I was caught off guard, but I also had experiences where I knew that the enemy was coming for me, and I put basically all my fighters in the air and just took down every single bomber they had, and then they just became basically defenseless because they just had a couple of fighters left, so I was able to bomb them into submission. So it creates this very interesting dynamic where even if the battle is the same, it doesn't feel like it is the same, because everything is changing on a minute-to-minute basis, and I really enjoy the game. I know it might sound like I'm overselling it, but I think it's going to be something really special.
It doesn't sound like you're overselling it, and you've always been quite passionate about the World War II era of games, which I just have no time for.
Because you were there, right?
So, because, yeah, it brings back flashbacks. I am not that old, right? I am not that old.
I want to correct something in this podcast. You, in the last podcast, you said that Tim is younger than me, and that's a lie.
Did I?
Yes, you did. I'm probably the youngest guy in the podcast, by the way.
Oh.
No, I don't think so. Ooh. I think
I'm younger.
How old are you, Adam?
Yeah.
31.
Okay, you're younger than me, but not by a lot. Not by a lot. Though.
So there you go.
Just a year.
One thing is that when I was listening to you, I thought about this MicroProse games. This is the old company that created strategy games, and I looked it up, and basically it is being published by MicroProse.
It is.
So it's like a. when you talked, I was like, this should be Microprose game, and it is. So basically, I guess this is also kind part of the description of this title.
Yeah,
they're publishing everything.
Yeah, but they have this specific audience for their games, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're targeting.
It just seems that any kind of strategy game, which is indie or semi-indie as well, Microprose, the publisher, it's just... And that's not a complaint, it's just an observation.
Yeah.
You know, long may they continue to release these games that Nuno loves and I can barely tolerate. But it sounds... If I was going to try a World War II game, it does sound quite fascinating. It does sound quite interesting, that whole thing where you've got to manage the entire task force. And there's that thing that they say it happened actually in one of the, maybe the Battle of Midway, where the Japanese admiral had his planes ready to go with torpedoes, and then he wanted to change them, and then he wanted to change them back, and it just delayed everything. Is there that sort of level of realism in this game?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So if okay. you like the moment you even have when you're playing on the bottom of your screen, you have a timetable of what's going on so that you can keep tabs on it. And yeah, it says like, and when you're in a battle, like the whole tab is just filled with stuff, and it says a lot of things happening at once, and you always need to pause the game to make sure that you set yourself correctly and try to figure out what's going on. But yeah, so if you want to, okay, like my task force is gonna be. My strike force, I'm sorry, is going to be 5 bombers, 5 fighters to accompany them, and 5 torpedo bombers. Like, you're mixing up 3 types of planes, right? Because they're not all the same. And what the crew is going to do on the aircraft is that they're going to start lowering the planes that are on the deck to make sure that they can free up space, and they're going to arrange the strike force to make sure that they launch in the most effective way possible. So this takes a while. And the more complex things become, the longer they take and the longer they can go on, the biggest disadvantage you're going to be, because like when you're a plane in the aircraft, you're always subjected to the fact that you need to come back home. Oh, and you also need to account for that, because if you change your fluid position, like it's the returning point is not going to be the same, so the planes might get lost as well. Even though they have a homing beacon, they can still be lost. So yeah, it is to that level of detail, even to the animation of the stuff. Like you can see the bombs dropping, you can see the planes being lowered and going up the elevator, you can see individual planes fighting each other with really cool textures and really amazing graphics. It's like I said, it feels like a next-gen war game.
So high praise, you've convinced me.
Yeah, me too.
And I know we talked about this a couple of days ago, where you were like, try it, and I was like, yeah, whatever. I was like, it's Nuno going on about one of these crappy games again, I'm not interested. But you've convinced me, I will try it before the end of next fest. But let's move on, because Adam suggested a title which I saw, but I've been at work, I've not had the time to play a huge amount of games this weekend, but Orbi Universo, it looked really interesting.
Okay, so this one. Basically, this game, do you know the game Democracy 3 or 4?
I do.
Is it the same as Democracy 1 and 2?
I don't know. To be honest, I know only the third one. So basically,
I think it probably is the same.
There's actually a Democracy 2. And there's a demo for it from 2007.
Anyway.
So this game... Okay, so this game basically, like... in order to describe it, like, you should think of, like, Forex game and take out from this game, like, the world, and you should leave, like, only concepts. Like, for example, when you have enough food, you have enough happiness, you enter Golden Age and stuff like that. And you get this concept of managing like managing part of your civilization, and then you create a game out of it. This is basically the game. The issue with this game is that I played 1 hour of it. I played the tutorial. I read a little bit about the first, because this is the second part. I read a little bit about the first one.
Have you played the first one?
No, I haven't. I read about it. I read, I saw some tutorials how to play it. And I look, because the second part basically is like the developed first game. And after 2 hours of trying to play this game, I decided I'm a little bit too stupid to understand this game for now. And I left it, but it seems really cool, really cool. I wish I would have time to, like, you know, grasp the whole concept of it, like to go through every mechanic and try it like 10 times in a row in order to understand everything. Like the first time you play a Civilization game, that's what you do basically.
Yeah.
But this one was too much. So on my scale, I wish list in order to see maybe in the future on some sale and maybe, I don't know, in some part in my life when I will have 10 days in a row of playing time, maybe, but it won't happen. So I guess, but it looks really cool. What I can say, it looks really cool.
It looks like the kind of game where you're going to have to invest a significant amount of time in understanding it. I mean, this is direct lift from Steam. It says Orbi Universal 2 is a deep management simulation strategy game. We like to play games to have fun.
Yep.
Which takes us back to the first game you mentioned, where we said, what's the purpose of it? And you said, to have fun. And I rubbished what he was saying. But now I'm eating my hat, because clearly he's right.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, deep management simulation strategy, and then it adds the word game at the end, and I'm thinking, well, is it? It doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Did you actually have any fun playing this for 1 hour, or was it just a grind?
Good question. I had fun. It's a game about the discovery of mechanics and understanding them, not about playing. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you play Forex games, for example, that also I play a lot, there are two phases of playing them. First one is basically understanding the game and enjoying the process of understanding, learning it. And second one is min-maxing and, you know, like pushing it to the limit. And I guess this game is like only the first part, but taken to the maximum. That's what this game is all about. Learning, I would say. But, you know, like, there would be this one guy who's listening to the podcast and he would be like, no, this game is about something else. And he's right, probably.
I hope more than one person listens to the podcast.
Out of all the people, there's this one guy. And he would be like, no, guys, this is the best game in the world. And I would believe him. Like, why shouldn't I? But, you know.
And you're going to start getting hate mail.
Oh, yeah. Sure, I am up for it. Go for it, guys.
All right, I'll talk about one which I've played a little bit of today in between getting 3 hours sleep and building furniture, which is Roman Triumph. I was like, oh, that looks interesting. First of all, I'm a huge fan of city builders. Cities Skylines is the game that I've played the most on Steam with about 7,000 hours. It's just ridiculous the amount of time I've played in Cities Skylines. I was like, that's interesting. And I do like the classic Rome period. So I thought, this looks like it could be combining one of my favorite types of games with one of my favorite time periods. Quite interesting. Indie developer, a one-man team developing this game. It looks like there's a huge amount going on with it. You are starting a settlement on behalf of the Roman Republic in the northern wilds of Europe. So your task is to go to the north and establish a settlement to, of course, to spread civilization to the barbarians.
Of course. Uneducated, the unwashed masses.
And it's got all of the things that you would expect. You place down your headquarters, you build roads, you build houses, you build farms, clay pits to get clay to build bricks, train legionnaires, build watchtowers, harvest rocks, fishing, farming, stones for masonry. But one of the really cool mechanics that I saw about this was, which I've not seen in any other game, and I thought it was a really, really good way of doing it, is about job priority. Let's say you have a population of 10. You have jobs of wood gatherer, stone gatherer, farmer, builder. There's a drag and drop list where you can prioritize the jobs. because you're limited with the amount of population you've got, you've got to really focus on what's important. So if your food is low, you need to make sure that you've got enough people who are farming. If you need more building materials, you've got to make sure you've got enough people who are gathering wood, gathering stone. And you've got to keep on top of it all the time, because you may be in a, because you've got a limited population, you could be in a situation where you have to rearrange, and you do it on the fly, it's real time, rearrange your priority queue to move a particular job up the queue so that people actually go and work on it. So if you think you get those bottlenecks where you're running out of food, you need certain materials, which one do you choose first? And then I suppose it comes to that point where you've got to understand the flow. So you need wood to build buildings, you need to get the building to be able to build bricks. And it's all about trying to work out which job do I need to prioritize first in order to grow the settlement.
I have a question. You were talking about the game being a city builder, but I was looking at the trailer and it has a lot of combat in it. Did you manage to see some combat while we were playing?
It's a survival city builder. So I'm thinking along the lines of Surviving the Aftermath and End Zone. You know those? Have you played those ones?
I haven't, but I'm thinking of something like They Are Billions, maybe.
No. It's not. It's completely different to that. Now there is combat. You can face off against barbarian hordes or tribes. But what I thought was really interesting was the inclusion of mythical beasts. Now, when I saw this on the preview, I thought that's, because at first I was like, this was like a really realistic simulation of building a Roman settlement and everything that goes along with it. And then suddenly this three-headed kraken or whatever is, comes along and starts chomping through the city. I was like, what? Where the fuck has that come from? You know, there's minotaurs, there's krakens, there's all these strange and exotic creatures that can come and attack you. So there is combat. I never got to experience the combat because I'm not good enough to get that far into the game. But it is there, and it's not just your standard going and defeating the nearby barbarian tribe. You've got these other strange beasts, which, of course, are going to wreak havoc on your settlement.
So I believe this game is like on more difficult side of the city builders, yes? Because there are city builders that play themselves, let's call it that way, and there are one like Banished that basically are hard as hell. So on this scale, like, what is the position of this game?
There's a lot of flexibility in how you want to play. When you set up the game, I think there was maybe four or five different difficulty settings. But from what I've been reading on the Discord, a lot of people are saying that once they get to about year 42, things start to get too much in terms of you're trying to manage everything about your city, but you're also under constant attack as well. Because, of course, I suppose the bigger the settlement becomes, the more likely you are to come into contact with potential enemies. Having that ability to choose how difficult you want it to be is probably quite accessible because I like to play games to enjoy and relax, not to have my brain melted by Orbi Universo 2. I like to just go and enjoy playing a game, and this is something which I think I could probably enjoy playing. I know we've talked about Manor Lords in the past where we say it has combat, but the combat aspect isn't a major part of the game. You know, some people do say that Manor Lords is more of a colony simulator than it is an RTS game.
Yeah.
Because the combat isn't front and center. And I guess it's probably a bit like that in some respects, where the combat is there, but it's not rammed down your throat. It's the managing that settlement, making sure you've got the right resources in the right place to be able to continue to grow is what you're aiming for. And the combat is what's going to come along and maybe trip you up a little bit. It's interesting. It's certainly worth having a look, and it's very accessible. You know, very obvious how, and I love that about games which are obvious. I don't want to have to read a manual, and I know we all did in the past, or certainly Nuno, who's really old, and I did in the past. You know, you've got a game in a big box. You read the manual before you played.
Oh, yeah, I have some of those in here.
Yeah, yeah, and that was, I think that was part of the fun, but I think that's gone now, and I think that consumers demand accessibility and the ability to instantly get into something. It does walk you through with a tutorial and with some basic, you know, collect 15 wood, collect 10 stone, build a house or whatever. So there's as part of the tutorial, there's certain tasks that you need to complete. So it does help you along. But it was very easy to pick up and get involved in. Certainly worth a look if you like city builders, if you like survival colony games, and if you like Rome, and if you like Krakens. It's apparently a three-headed dragon.
It's not a Kraken. It's a Hydra.
Sorry, Hydra. Sorry.
The fuck, a Kraken with three heads. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Nerd.
If you can tell the difference between a Kraken and a Hydra when you've had 3 hours sleep, then you can come and be a better man than me.
I won't fight you on this one because I'm a grown man, and you're old enough to be like my grandfather, so I'm gonna respect you.
Yeah, respect your elders.
Exactly.
So you should.
Because you were there, you actually saw the Kraken in real life. So
I killed the Kraken.
Yes, you choked it.
And
you drowned it. You drowned the Kraken from picking up from the man in you.
And then me and Hercules just kicked back and
smoked had the some joint. Beer.
No, we don't do drugs. But then we made out with Medusa.
You got rock hard with that.
Moving swiftly on. Adam, let's have one more from you.
One more, and that's it, yes? Okay, so let's go for the game called The King is Watching. And this is a really interesting title. I read about it on Reddit or somewhere that it's one of the best. It looks kind of like mobile game. And in fact, I would believe it could be on mobile on one side, like in terms of graphics. But from the other point of view, I would believe it's too complex. And basically, this game is... When you play RTS games like StarCraft, Warcraft, or Command & Conquer type of games, there is always there's part of the game that you need to decide what are you going to do. Are you going to, you know, develop the city in order to create more units? Are you going to create more harvesters in order to acquire more some resources? Or are you going to fight and so on? Like, you need to decide how to properly manage the time and how to properly upgrade everything, how to properly build your base in terms of like timeline management. I guess you understand what I mean. Like, you need to adjust to situation. You need to look what your opponent is doing and build the building that basically counter this other building and stuff. Like, you need to make decisions about how to build your base and how to prepare and how to prepare yourself for the fight in terms of your base and your setup. And this game is basically like you would take this concept and make game out of it. What you are doing in here is you are building a base. And the concept is really cool because in the first sentence you get is that the people are working only when the king is watching. And basically you build buildings and you have this kind of Tetris-like squares that is the markings of what are you as a king is looking at. And if you put these markings on the building, basically this building produce stuff and others not. And this game is all about producing stuff at the right order and the right and at the right magnitude in order to cope with enemies that are coming at your base. And the fight with these enemies basically is an auto battler. So you create units that fight from themselves. So what you are focusing on is only this town management in terms of managing the links and managing the connections between the buildings and some combos and stuff like that. It's interesting concept. I really like about it that the first sentence, like, people are working only when king is watching, is like the core of the game. And even the name of the game is The King is Watching. So, like, basically, that's what this game is all about. and I really like it. The graphic is nice. The gameplay is really good. This is one of the games, the only one that I played a couple of times because I liked it so much. The whole management aspect is also not so straightforward because the build is a rogue. It is also a roguelite. So basically everything is randomized. You get the cards and you set up the buildings from the cards. So we also are choosing stuff when you play, and you can get bad buildings, good spells, bad spells. It's fully randomized. You also need to decide how tough enemies in the next waves are. So there is risk management. I am really interested into playing this game in the future. Like, this is the best this is for sure the best game I played on this next fest. For sure. Like, hands down, the best one.
It sounds really interesting. Just that it's like a really, really simple concept where, you know, it sounds almost too simple, but that really appeals to me. You know, it's a case of, I take it you place your buildings and your king can only watch a certain number of squares, a certain number of tiles at any one time. And I guess there must be some nuance in there where you can decide that you need food troops and whatever, food troops, building materials, so you can group them together.
Yep.
So the king can watch that particular.
Yep.
Like, is there any restrictions? Is there adjacency bonuses or anything like that, which would make it?
I haven't seen. Maybe there are some in the later part of the games, but you see, this is the demo, and when you play it, like, you could see that there is like whole part of the game that is locked behind. You know, behind basic release gate. But at this point, it's more about finding a good combination and finding yourself in the situation and coping with it. Oh yeah, this is a good way to explain it. Like, you need to cope with the situation you are presented with. In terms of a mechanic, that is, you as a king is looking at your grid. And grid, basically, are the buildings built at your base.
Hmm.
Really good game. I guess all you would like it, because it seems easy, but you are getting to the point, at some point you're getting to this kind of like, there are so many enemies, everything is moving so fast that basically the game becomes really hard, but at a certain point it's quite cozy. Basically, you set up everything and you wait for a next wave, like kind of tower defense-y, like, I would say.
Yeah,
kind of.
You can, like, it draws you into the false sense of security that
this is
a nice, easy, and then suddenly, bang, everything's going off and you need to make sure that you're directing your gaze. The king is watching a particular part of your settlement, which at this moment in time, you need to have troops coming out to defend against the enemies which are coming towards you.
And again, if you play it, imagine that basically, like, at the beginning, you, when you are learning the game, this cozy part like grasp your attention and you're like, oh, it's easy, I can play it. And if you die, and you die pretty fast at the beginning, you're like, okay, I made this so stupid mistake, I will fix it like immediately, it was so stupid. And then you get like 10 waves later and then they kill you and you're like, oh my god, it was also my mistake, it was so bad, like, yeah, let's fix it. And then next one, and it gets you in this really good loop, but you're not so like exhausted after playing it. It's easy to learn, hard to master game, but like in this very good way. Let's call it that way.
We'll move on from that one then, mate, because that's clearly your favorite that you've played in. So that's Adam's pick. And I want to make a dishonorable mention to a game which really drew me in with the description. So listen to this. A grand strategy game of world domination. Conquer and unite 195 countries before an unknown enemy arrives. Build your economy, military and influence. Choose war or diplomacy. Control resources and shape the future. Only one rule will rise to the top. Will it be you? Doesn't that sound just like fucking awesome? So I loaded it up. It's called NWO, which is New World Order. New World Order, Anarchy Collapse. So I opened it up and it was, I was like, okay, lots of AI generated art, very obviously. It's like, it's a simulation, set in a simulation, if that makes sense. The premise of the game is you are invited to take part in this game, which is in the game. And the winner of this game becomes the leader of the world to face off against the oncoming alien invasion. I was like, all right, that's interesting. Let's dive in. and see what it's like. What an absolute pile of crap. It's a map painter. Honestly, what... I haven't paid. It's a demo, but I want my money back. It's just a complete... I feel that they should pay me for my time having tried this absolute pile of tosh.
Al, can you please say the name of the game again?
For those who may have missed it,
yes.
New World Order, Anarchy Collapsed.
Oh, okay, NWO. Because I was looking for it. Oh, yeah, this looks...
Oh, yeah, I look at it too.
I mean...
I'm going to be honest, it looks bad.
I thought it looked excellent. I think,
like, you have like, what is this? A Brazilian Batman in here? What the fuck? What the fuck are you expecting?
You have a what?
Please. Oh my god! If anyone is listening, and you guys are on the computer, go to NWO Anarchy Collapse, and look at the 10th screenshot of the game.
Sorry.
Which is Batman in Brazil, and you even have, like, Jesus on the back. What the fuck,
nice.
Is this?
It's the first time I see it. Oh my god.
I didn't look at the screenshots. I looked at the description, and I thought, that sounds like a really, really interesting premise for a game. Which one did I pick when I played? I picked
oh my god,
The Freedom Fracturer. The Freedom Fracturer for the United States of America.
Sounds like a porn name.
The Freedom Fracturer is a villain who loves to exploit differences using social media, misinformation, and political polarization to fracture the United States. He aims to turn the country's greatest strength, its diversity, which is really badly formatted. You know, there's no one's bothered to do any kind of quality control on the tooltips for this, into its greatest weakness. However, the resilient Americans, with their deep sense of patriotism and commitment to unity, always manage to bridge the divides and outsmart the fracturer, ensuring that the nation remains united and strong. The differences between, I think there's maybe 5 or 6 different leaders you could have for America, and there was like, 5% increase in troops, 5% increase in aircraft, 10% increase in tanks, whatever. Absolutely. I don't like to use harsh language, but this is absolute bullshit. It's an embarrassment. It should never be touted as a grand strategy anything. Playing it on mobile, maybe my 6-year-old would be best place to play it, because it's just terrible. All you can do is you either build some troops, you from America, you invade Mexico because you've got more troops than them, and then Mexico turns the same color as the United States, and then you move on to Guatemala or whatever. Trash. Dire. But I don't want to end on a bad note.
But what about the Brazilian bat?
Yeah, I want to play this game and to see if there's Brazilian Batman really in this game.
This game is a treasure trove of... So, the Batman is called the Carnival Kingpin, which is just fucking spot on. It's the Carnival Kingpin in Brazil, and it's Batman with the Brazilian flag. Oh my god, this is so funny.
Is this the last...
Oh, he operates from behind the scenes on Brazilian's biggest events, carnival, football matches, music festivals, and the chaos and exciting force. Oh, this is very poorly written.
This has been written by ChatGPT, I'm sure.
Like, I'm pretty sure the game was made by ChatGPT.
I disagree. I think that ChatGPT could make a better game than this. And I hate to be completely negative, but it's awful. And I never looked at the screenshots because I don't like to... I mean, if you look at the last one that Adam mentioned, that the King is watching, it doesn't... It's, you know, you mentioned about Task Force Admiral being like a AAA title in terms of what it looks like.
Yeah.
The King is watching looks like that could have come out in the late 90s with the graphics that it has. But it's still fun. I don't like to look at graphics as a definitive indicator of the quality of a game. I want to try the game and see what it's like. And this, the presentation of this looked fairly decent. when you load it up. But then when my leader is the fucking Fracturer or Queen Liberty or King Liberty or whatever, I was like, what on earth is what is this trash? And now I've just seen the Carnival Kingpin, the Brazilian Batman. That's going to be the podcast cover for our YouTube video.
I was gonna say that.
And the description is the best. Flamboyant villain.
Flamboyant. Brazil's most flamboyant villain.
Also.
A criminal mastermind.
Please take a look at the Chinese, the Dragon Dynasty, and look at the helmet of the guy. He looks like he has one eye way above the other one, so he looks like he has some kind of face deformity. I mean, who
the Dragon Dynasty.
Oh my god.
1 billion people land. What? Peopleland isn't even a word. Like they've not even nobody's even bothered to check whether there's a space between people and the word and.
It's Peopleland.
The quality. How are people? And what is Steam doing? Is Steam, do they not have any kind of quality control on this?
They don't.
You know, it's this is junk. This is absolute junk. Absolute junk. Now, I did say I didn't want to end on a negative, but unfortunately, we're running out of time. So we are going to end on the negative of New World Order.
Oh, let's just make a suggestion. Go play Tempest Rising as well. But Tempest Rising is great.
Adam doesn't want to play Tempest Rising. He doesn't like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
No. I want a verge. I want an edge. Let's call it that way.
Two against one. You lose. If you've made it this far, listeners, dear listeners, and you've not been turned off by the Dragon Dynasty and the freaky Fracture and Brazilian Batman, we are going to be doing a full episode on Tempest Rising, probably sometime around the 18th of April it'll be released, which is just before the game comes out, and we will have the lead game designer joining us for that episode, so I'm very excited for that one.
By the way, please, before we go, I cannot let this one go. I'm sorry. This new game, please have a look at the trailer. It's just so fucking stupid.
The trailer?
Yes, I cannot stop laughing. This is so fucking stupid. So the trailer starts with like a 2 second clip that goes back and forth for 4 seconds. And you can even see the lights on the back, they just go up and down. And it just like, it whoops on itself. And then it shows an AI version of Donald Trump making a speech. And this is only 10 seconds in, so there's still a lot. We need to do a podcast on this, I'm sorry.
Play it. Play the game. Play New World Order, Anarchy Collapsed, whilst it's on the demo, because if anybody pays for this game, send me your address and I will come and personally shoot you in the face, because there's nobody should have to suffer the indignity of playing this. So please, guys, play it.
Oh, by the way, oh my god, this is a fucking treasure trove of fiction. So the can of the guy is called King Maple Syrup.
King Maple Syrup.
You cannot make this shit up. I swear.
Adam, is this a joke? I mean,
it's gotta be a joke. Because
I think it's a joke for some streamers or something like that. I do believe it's not.
Because the Mexican guy is called El Sombrero. This has to be a joke. I cannot believe this is true.
There are no reviews for this product. Oh, more like this. This is interesting. So, you know, when it says what this game's similar to, more like this, the first on the list is Civilization 7.
Oh my god.
I don't think it's like Civilization 7. I think that this is... And I know we awarded Civ 7 3.5 cheeseburgers. Sorry, 3.5 Big Macs out of 10.
Hey, King Maple Syrup.
Out of ten Big Macs, I would award New World Order Anarchy Collapsed the regurgitated contents of my stomach out of 10 Big Macs, because it is absolutely disgraceful. Right. So we've got time for say goodbye everybody, because it's time to leave.
Bye-bye, guys. Just make sure you go visit Strategy and Wargaming so MicroProse can sponsor me.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening.
Thanks very much. Take it easy. Goodbye.